This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
This is Burr Martin of the Burr Martin Experience Podcast, or Selfie Dad as I'm known around the internet. Now, I could tell you all about my podcast by throwing in some special effects or sound bites, but I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm a busy man, brother. I'm a C-minus internet celebrity. Look, I've worked in radio for over 12 years. I've produced about 15 different shows. I worked in a comic book shop. I've done stand-up, hosted events, and I was even voted Hero of the Week in the UK. My podcast is co-hosted by my wife, and we talk about anything and everything. And occasionally, one of our three kids will interrupt to tell us what's going on in their generation. We talk about celebrities, politics, pop culture, and news stories you've probably never heard about. All right, we're radio friendly and we try and keep things upbeat. So join me every week for the Burr Martin Experience Podcast here on the Pants Pending Studios Network. That's Burr Martin. So put a BM in your podcast catcher today and it'll be who wrote the poop joke? I am a C-minus internet celebrity. Which one of you writers wrote that? You go back and you work for Late Night with Chevy Chase. That won't fly here.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Also, Tom Hardy is like a guy that a straight guy can guilt-free have a crush on, I feel.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is the Social Hour. On today's show, comedians Sam Vidovich and Lucas Prom are in studio for a 2019 year-end movie review episode. And now your host. Still waiting for someone to do a gritty reboot of his life. Deese Casillas.
Malib Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another episode. Happy New Year. I think we've been back since before the New Year. Maybe we have. We have. It's been like a couple weeks, actually.
I was going to say, we're like halfway through January.
Yeah, that's Sam Vidovich here. We're going to talk some movies. Sam, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good, Deese. How are you?
I'm here. We're here. We're going to make it. Lucas Prom's coming in. We're going to, in a moment. He's late, but we're going to talk Star Wars. We're going to talk all the movies of 2019. Secret of post-production, we generally record these on Mondays, release them on Wednesdays. All day today until about, knowing I had to record this show tonight, almost all day today, I was sure it was Tuesday. And I'm like, and then finally, I'm like, ah, it's about Tuesday. So I'm like, it's Monday. I'm like, what? I'm like, fuck, that makes sense. I got to record my show. I'm like, I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I cannot. I have not been able to keep my head on straight for a couple months.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you should say a couple days.
No. It's been
months now, huh?
It's been like, it's been a while. My fall, winter sleep deprivation has been absolutely brutal this year. So I have not been whole since probably before Thanksgiving at least. So early November. We're working on it.
But you know, every holiday takes a little bit out of you. Just line them up back to back right there.
Would you rather have them a couple throughout the year or just knock them all out in 2 months and then never have to see your family for the next 10 months?
I'd probably just spread them out just because, like, I'm a bit of a Grinch. Like, I don't have a problem with them, but just, like, the way some people get about them and the way, like, especially here in America, we get about them, it's just, like, makes me want to barf.
Is it, like, the how precious we are about them?
How precious we are, and just, like, you know, like the whole consumerist thing, which is that's not like a that's well-worn territory there, but it still bugs me to a certain degree.
Sure.
And just like in working customer service and having the, you know, guests feeling the need that I have to like be a part of their holiday experience or whatever, and it's just like fuck off. I'm helping you go in your room and don't talk to me.
Then we have to listen to how Starbucks holiday cups are ruining Attack on Christmas every year.
Yeah, it's
or
always
World
something.
Christmas. Yeah, someone's ruining something. Mm-hmm. Oh, go fuck yourselves. Who cares? Well, another thing that happens every year around the holidays is we get a new edition of Star Wars.
Ooh.
As we did this year with Star Wars.
Rise of Skywalker.
That's it. That was it. God, I was having a heart. I was like,
for a second, I thought you forgot the Wars part. You're like, Star Wars?
Yeah. You can throw it. Yeah. Throw Molly out. Molly out. Okay. Out, Molly. Go. Molly, go. Go. I'm yelling at my that's my autistic kid sister.
yeah. And we got a special guest in the house coming in hot.
Let's see, are you plugged in here? Right there, that should be you. You should be able to get Lucas Prom here. Join us. We are just getting into the Star Wars.
Have you heard of it?
Have you heard of it? We all saw the new one. We're going to talk about all the movies we saw this year.
Well, I don't think we're talking about all the movies.
There's a lot I don't want to talk about. Yeah. I found we're going to talk about Star Wars first, then get in it because Star Wars definitely didn't make my top 10 list of favorite movies of the year. It was I will say this. I had a hard time. Fucking Lucas comes in.
I'm just sorry. Because of whiskey shakes.
I had a hard time. I made a long list of movies I saw, and I only made it to 7 that I decided I liked. Like, there's movies.
Fair enough.
There's not that I liked. I will say there's like simple movies that were like a fun enough romp. Like, I saw the new Child's Play. It wasn't a great movie, but it was like, yeah, that was a dumb thing that was fine enough for what it was. Like,
well, yeah, you're going in with expectations for that.
Yeah, or like Shazam and things. Like, that was what it was. It was
I heard
like,
that was good. I never saw it.
No, Shazam was good.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly almost put that on my top 10.
Really? Oh, I only made it to 7 that I was like, these are probably only 7 I really would consider that were like, I mean, maybe Shazam might make it, I guess. But there was, you know, there's a lot of the typical Marvel stuff and blah, blah, blah. But,
that's like your worst?
No, they're just kind of, those are innocuous to me. Like, I don't know.
You see all
fine.
Of them.
Yeah, yeah I do. But they're innocuous. They're like, they're never, I don't ever think they're bad, but I don't ever think they're great. They're just, they're just.
To me, they're
piece.
Like episodes of TV.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the next thing, and you're okay. That's
and
what's
it's always
going
the
on.
Same formula. Yeah. I mean, I guess this one had a little different because it had Endgame or whatever, which is tying up that whole thing, but I just thought that thing was a fucking mess.
Yeah, and then there's the one with the Dame, Captain
Dame Judi Dench.
Miss Marvelous.
Yeah, the Marvelous Miss Marvel.
Yeah, wasn't into that one.
I absolutely detested that movie.
Did you?
Oh, really? Cool.
I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you like Brie Larson and how much she hates white men.
Yeah.
White,
I like
40-year-old white dudes.
Yeah.
This movie wasn't made for 40-year-old white dudes.
No.
Even though
not.
That's the average age of a comic book buyer, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's
like,
probably the
average
demo.
I can kind of separate that. Like, she seems like a total bitch to me in real life, but I like her in movies.
Yeah.
And to me, that movie was just so bland.
I enjoyed it, but that, before we get into the other movies, we'll talk Star Wars, and we plan on doing this earlier. You know, Sam and I were talking off the air. It kind of we've lost a little bit of our gusto for this conversation because it's
the day after we both saw it. We're like, fuck yeah,
yeah.
We got a lot of shit on our minds. Yeah. And then as the weeks go by, you're just like, oh, whatever. It's another fucking shitty Star Wars.
I think that's a testament. Movie. Yeah, it's a testament to how forgettable of a movie it was. It wasn't even like it was bad, but it's not like so bad that it sticks with you. It's just bad, like forgettable. You're just like, all right, that was a thing that happened. It kind of hits the markers of a lot of the markers.
It wasn't the prequels. It wasn't on the level with that.
That's the thing.
Like,
I've been, you know, I'll talk about movies online and stuff with other movie lovers and shit like that, and talking about Star Wars a lot, and just, oh, it was so bad. But I always went back to, I'd still watch any of the Disney movies over the prequels. Like, they're just so much more watchable.
Yeah.
Like, like the prequels I would watch with someone else if we were, like, making fun of them and getting drunk or whatever. But if I'm just going to watch a movie, like, at least the Disney movies are, like, fucking paced well and the dialogue's bad, but it's not, like, fucking shoot yourself in the head bad.
Right. You don't feel like you're looking at, like, some weird, like, animatronic... You're not looking at, like a VR Oculus Rift when you watch those.
I almost find that version more entertaining just because, like, how bad it is. It's like the movie version of, like, a Nissan Juke. Have you seen that car? Where it's so ugly, it's like it sticks out in your head, and it's almost fun to talk about. But then there's, like, a 97 Nissan Sentra that's so boring that it's like, I don't care. I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, yeah, I will. Like, in my head, like... This is probably worse than The Last Jedi, but I definitely disliked watching The Last Jedi more.
I would agree. I don't know. Hinging a whole plot, like a 2.5 hour movie, Star Wars movie, all hung on the plot line of space gas in The Last Jedi.
Oh my God. It's just like, wait, what? This thing that's never been an issue ever before?
Never mentioned once, and now it's and then this slow speed chase through space. Right, I know. Like,
And also, it's just like, people were able to get off that ship, like, fucking
constantly, in and out the whole time.
Yeah, throughout the whole movie.
And why did Laura Dern have to die? You got fucking robots.
Yeah.
Honestly, why did she have purple hair? That was more... that really made
no sense.
Listen,
Lucas, like, your straight white man perspective on her hair is not welcome here.
Oh, God. And I can't believe I said she. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe she wasn't actually a she.
Who
did she play? Did she play...
She played like Leia second in command.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's kind of like...
Wouldn't tell Poe the plan.
Did she die in that movie?
She suicided herself.
That's right.
That part was cool, though, when she just like hyperspaced into another ship.
Yeah, the shot was cool. Like, just how like, it was like lightning striking through the ship. That was really cool.
But so like...
Looking.
Visually. Weird thing about this new movie, though, is they're basically like... Fuck everything that happened in that other movie.
Yeah.
We're not happy with that. And so they had to cram two movies worth of a plot into this thing.
Right.
And it just made every scene just feel just like nothing. Because it was just like, introduce a problem, complain about the problem, get a solution to the problem, move on to the next scene. It was just, there are no stakes to anything.
Yeah, simultaneously addressing and fixing the things in the last movie, The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And then also trying to make their own movie. Like, it was textbook, like, catching the lightsaber when Luke caught the lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
His ghost form or whatever. And it was like, fuck you. Fuck the last movie. That's what it felt like. But it was, like, such a... corporate way of looking at it,
but what's crazy is that, like, especially considering Disney owns Marvel too and they have everything planned out until the fucking sun explodes, and then it's just like Star Wars, the fucking biggest movie franchise in the universe, and you don't have a plan for this new trilogy. Like, you just let like some kind of smaller indie director come in and just totally shit over all the story stuff,
right?
And then you're just like, I mean, I didn't like Last Jedi, but fucking, you made your bed, lie in it with him.
Right,
like,
figured. You gotta go from there. And so, the fact that they didn't map this thing out. I mean, I get you don't plan it out to the exact, every dialogue, every piece of dialogue.
Yeah, but have an overarching narrative throughout the trilogy.
Yeah, it seemed like they decided Snoke was gonna be this villain, and then the second one, Ryan, they're like, and then
it's Palpatine again.
Palpatine
thing, oh my God.
Bringing that back.
I actually didn't die, and there's probably Palpatines everywhere, don't worry about it.
This whole thing is like a clone thing again.
Yeah, and then...
And I didn't even really pick that up in the film itself. Like, they don't make it, like, super explicit. Like, it's like, okay, he's, like, got a new body or something. Oh, wait, no, it's like, fucking I don't know. It was just so weird.
Oh, yeah. Like, I unfortunately watched it twice because I love pain. And
you know, you got to support indie movie.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like little guy.
Yeah.
Little guy.
I needed, honestly, my ticket got him over $1 billion, you know, that first
that
month.
That felt good for you.
Yeah. So,
you're
welcome,
your name,
Disney.
On a Mickey Mouse hat.
Yeah. But, yeah, there were things that I picked up on, but it was in such a bad way. Yeah, because then I was just picking it apart even more.
Oh.
And I was like a terrible moviegoer. And also, it was the third weekend, and there was me, who I saw it with, and one other dude in the theater.
Wow.
On like a Saturday or a Sunday evening.
Dude, yeah.
Like, it was pretty bad.
And it's crazy just, like, the requirements Disney asks of theaters, where it's just, like, because there were probably, like, three or four smaller movies at AMC that I wanted to see, and I missed them the first week. I'm like, oh, it's fine. They'll be here for at least a month.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, wait, Star Wars is next week, and
yeah,
it literally needs fucking 10 screens.
Right.
True.
And now I can't see fucking the Honey Boy, and I'm letting down my boy, Shia.
Yeah, you're squeezing out these other movies.
Yeah, that's true. That happened to me. Yeah, I didn't think about that, that would just blast everything else out.
Yeah, because Disney has requirements where it's like, you have to have it on this many screens, this many times playing, or we're not going to let you show it at all.
Yeah.
And it's Star Wars, so they have to.
Right, they'd be stupid not to. One of the biggest things for this movie trilogy that happened, and literally they lost me 5 minutes into The Force Awakens, is Kylo Ren is like immediately impish and an impotent villain. He's never villainous in any way, shape, or form. And one of the opening scenes of Force Awakens, when Poe, like, he makes fun of him somehow. He's like, so do I talk first? Like, that scene immediately took away,
kind of belittling him, taking away his power.
Yeah, do you remember when they introduced Darth Vader and he's choking some guy off the ground then threatening to kill his daughter?
Yeah.
Like, that's a villain right there, you know? But
yeah, I forgot when he choked him off.
Yeah, and like, Kylo Ren is just like, he's just like this kid throwing a tantrum, and he's never intimidating.
So I kind of liked that, though, about his character, where he wasn't just another Darth Vader. He was like this fucking young messed up person that was
like
trying to be like that, but you're not him, type of thing.
He's like a he was like a spoiled rich kid.
Yeah,
like an affluent.
He's like a spoiled Star Wars fan.
Yeah. Honestly, in another actor's shoes, that could have been bad. And I see
that's the thing,
where you wouldn't like it. But I do actually like it, because I think the way Adam Driver played it,
like, he can do that.
Yeah,
like,
I think it works.
He's a good enough actor, I think, that he can pull off that stuff.
Oh,
with the face and kind of the lip quivering and shit like that. But like, to me, him and Rey were always the most interesting part of the movies. But then The Last Jedi just shit the bed on doing anything interesting with them, when it was just like, you thought there's going to be a moment where they're going to go off together and figure some shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then it's just like, no, actually, it's just going to be the exact same thing as always.
I just wanted to see him have sex. Yeah. So much. I think that was...
Well, I have a link for you.
The Rylo fanfic?
I have such a... I got so fatigued by watching them have these, like, faux fights, but when they were on different planets.
Right.
Like, that happens.
They're
so
only
many
using
times.
The force for call waiting.
That happens so many times in The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, where I'm just like, I'm fucking, just fuck already, or stop.
Right.
Like, what is this? It just happens so often.
By the time we get to Rise of Skywalker, I was just so tired of Rey and her just being fucking, whenever she needs to do anything, it's just no struggle at all. She can fucking do it. She's like,
that
character has some interesting moments, and that actress is super likable, and you're ruining it by just lazy. Well, I don't want to say lazy screenwriting because J.J. Abrams has come out and said, like, hey, we basically had a deadline that they would not budge on.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of respect him for burning the Disney bridge.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, you're as big as J.J. You don't need that bridge.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
you got
the,
Firefly
all the,
money.
Yeah, all the other actors. Yeah, that's where his money is. All the
no,
other
it's that Super 8 money. Come on.
All the other actors, though, they can't really say anything, you know.
Yeah.
Or those smaller directors.
Boyega did?
He's kind of been saying
he's
stuff
like, they're not going to Disney Plus me, which and that was so vague, no one knew, but Disney was still like, what'd you mean by that? And he's like, I don't know, we did 4,000 interviews and red carpet appearances
right
in like 6 days.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, but I think it was a little bit of a cop-out, like, on J.J. Abrams' part, like, to just be like, oh, they fucking cut my movie to shit.
Right.
Because...
You know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You're not getting final cut on that shit.
Right.
And like, I think he was able to, because The Force Awakens was actually so enjoyable for
what
the
it
better
was.
Part of... Yeah, like critics and audiences... to where he could be like, hey, you saw what I did in that other one. And mm-hmm. then it's like, okay, well, they didn't have Final Cut then, but now they have Final Cut. Like, I don't know. I just...
Yeah, I mean, I think that they just have completely mishandled it. And it's just to the point where it's like, I don't think I'm going to see Star Wars movies in theaters anymore.
Well, I kind of
just wait
that
until
too.
They're streaming.
I was kind of, yeah, I was talking about that last
night.
I only
watch them so I can see Red Letter Media and make fun of them.
That really, is true, yeah. Yeah, that's the hard part is when you're invested in some critics or
yeah.
something. And yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall it was just like messy, unenjoyable. I think, and I, also, that weird, the shoehorning in Lando for no reason. He had no curb, he was no
just
driving
to drive
point. Yeah, just
second.
To be like, hey, remember me? I was in the original movies too. Like, I'm the
right.
only guy that was like kind of a main character and hasn't appeared yet.
And he was in it so little because it was just such a bloated movie.
Yeah.
It's like they couldn't. There's probably a bunch of deleted scenes with him, I would guess. And there's that weird implication with him and that younger black woman, the ex-stormtrooper, right?
Yeah.
It was like, wait, are you like trying to be a father figure to her, or are you trying to fuck her?
Well, I guess
that was confusing. I don't think they knew.
I heard a rumor they're going to do a Disney Plus show.
I think that's what the implication was supposed to be, was Lando and her figuring out her backstory or something.
Which is like that.
So
that's,
now they're just setting up shows.
Yeah, which is
Disney Plus.
That's the thing too. Jesus. It's like you're using this movie to spin off into.
I mean, that's kind of par for the course. That, like,
because streaming is getting so big.
The and I think I've told both of you guys this separately. But I'll say it again here live on the show. I was so much wishing, like, as I'm sitting there watching this movie and there's that kind of final scene with Rey and Kylo and the Emperor, and, you know, Rey's worried about, you know, she's the linchpin that's going to, you know, rise the dark side again. And I was like, dude, if these filmmakers, like these screenwriters had any fucking balls.
These artists,
the best way to make, like, honestly, I would have, what would have redeemed that movie to me is if Rey would have sacrificed herself against the Emperor, died to like ensure that there in no way,
never.
Shape, or form could she ever go to the dark side, and then that convinced Kylo Ren to like go back to the light side, truly be redeemed, and then a true rise of Skywalker. I'm like, that makes sense. That fucking
makes sense. Not just I change my name at the end.
Well, that's
of the movie.
Yeah, and that's also different. That's a different ending. That's such a different ending than what the other trilogies had. That's like literally like a.
Yeah.
That would actually give them a character arc.
Yeah,
like an actual.
And some, I think, a little more depth to everything else they did, but of course they're going to go the typical cop out, blah blah blah. And like, it's just
bad
so watered.
Fucking, she should have had to make convince Kylo to kill her, and because Kylo's like been struggling with this whole
sexuality thing.
You know,
oh definitely
with a light side dark side shit, and like he killed his Han, who was like a father figure to Rey. That could have been way more. poetic.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Wow, well done.
And you know, Star Wars is all about poetry because it rhymes.
Because it rhymes, yeah.
I don't know if anyone else knows about that.
Yeah,
stuff.
I know.
So just a fun time of the movie is all around.
Yeah. This so funny thing is this Star Wars movie.
The fucking Chewie thing. Hold on, I just remembered something I hated. That fucking Chewie bait and switch. Like it literally
for 4
showed,
minutes.
For 4 minutes, it literally. And my friend went to the bathroom during that time, and he's like, "What I missed?" I'm like, "Well, Chewie died, but he's actually alive."
Yeah.
And like, so that had no way. And also, I don't know who I was talking to about this, but it's like. Rey had the force enough to like stop the ship and blow it up, but she couldn't sense if Chewie was on or dead or alive.
Well, also
or,
like so she watched Chewie get boarded on the thing, it flies away and blows up. Like, did you? Where's the second transport?
Yeah,
the switch of did you not true. See the
yeah.
second? Like
they did.
There was actually two perfectly parked next to each other, lined up.
They did show him getting on a ship that was different than the one that flew up, but it wasn't like further out. It
yeah,
wasn't
it didn't
like.
Make-
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It's literally just like cover our asses, make this a slightly different ship model.
Yeah, yeah.
It,
like
it's
they,
literally in the shot. It,
yeah.
It, the cinematic language doesn't tell you any of that.
Do you guys want to take a stab at which Star Wars movie you think has the lowest Rotten Tomatoes rating?
Oh, the lowest one, I think, is...
Are we talking about a Star Wars Stories movies, too, like Solo and shit?
No, let's just go the main...
I would almost...
Audience score, or we're going critic score, the first one?
Critic score. Overall rating there.
I would almost guess this one.
I would say this one or Attack of the Clones.
You know, yeah, probably Attack of the Clones, actually.
This one...
That's the most forgettable.
Tied... With the Phantom Menace at 53%,
oh, weird.
Attack of the Clones at 65%. Although oddly enough, The Last Jedi sits at 91%.
Critics really liked it
because it was different. I think that was the biggest thing.
Force Awakens is at 93. Revenge of the Sith is at 80. Attack of the Clones 65. Star Wars: Return of the Jedi is only 82.
That wasn't. The biggest thing in the world.
Empire Strikes Back is 94. That's the highest rated one, as it should be. and The New Hope is 93%.
I'm pretty sure Solo, A Star Wars Story should be the highest one.
Yeah, yeah. That was
totally
necessary.
That's at 70%.
Oh, Jesus.
Rogue One's 83. So,
Well, and also, it's kind of hard to tell because it doesn't have the critics from the 70s. It doesn't have all
I think
those scores.
Some,
do they?
Yeah, with bigger movies, they will just go back.
And
go
they
back.
Will?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I thought they had to re-review it.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. Yeah, they'll go back and take older views and stuff.
Oh, shit.
And factor it in.
That's funny that Last Jedi has such a high review score, because I remember when that came out and the audience like pretty much overwhelmingly hated it and the critics loved it, a lot of critics were like, well, Empire got bad reviews when it came out, and now it's loved. It's like, no, motherfuckers, you gave this good reviews. They gave Empire bad reviews.
It's different.
You don't understand what's going on.
This one, so the tomato, let's see, the critics review.
The tomato meter.
Yeah, tomato meter, 91% for The Last Jedi.
What?
So crazy.
Dude, that fucking Disney money.
43% by the audience. So that's a huge
that's a big
huge swing between the
Disney Incorporated that big dick.
Yeah, man.
Long reaching.
Yeah. I think it has something to do with just like when I don't it's got to be like critics having something to do with just seeing something different. They're like, "Oh, he subverted our expectations." So maybe that
may have
I don't know.
All right. The that's I don't know.
The Star Wars portion?
I think that's all I've got to say on this. Yeah. I don't, that's
it's so long. Longest Star Wars ever.
Is
like,
it?
They don't
it
need to be
long.
This long.
And it felt its length so much.
I literally checked out.
The Mandalorian's shorter, and that's an 8-episode series. Jesus Christ.
Have you guys watched that?
I have 2 episodes, so I'm done with that.
Sam, did you watch it?
I watched 1.5 episodes.
I ended up watching it because I've had such bad insomnia. I've watched it like at like 4 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up watching the whole thing. And I'm like, it was fine. I could have never watched it and been fine. Like, it wasn't, It feels like a Star Wars TV show.
Yeah, I don't know. I was really high when I watched it, and it just everything felt super disjointed. Like the scenes didn't feel like there's that much connective tissue between them. But also, I only watched 1.5 episodes.
Yeah,
I just hope that we get a Bill Burr action figure.
That would
season.
Be great.
besides the ones I made personally. Yeah.
All right, should we get into top 10? Sam, how do you want to do this? Do you want to each list one at a time?
Yeah, I think
or?
We should just go down the someone does 10, other person does 10, just work our way down like that.
Okay. Yeah. Sure, you want to start?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start. So, I had about probably like 15 I had to whittle it down from.
Okay.
So my number 10 is The Lighthouse. Robert Eggers' follow-up to The Witch, which I fucking love The Witch.
Witch is good.
Yeah, I'm not a horror hound, not a big horror guy. Witch is definitely up there for one of my favorite horror movies. I like this movie quite a bit. It was just a weird ass fucking crazy movie with just two amazing performances. One thing I'm taking away from this kind of the past couple of years is Robert Pattinson is a fucking amazing actor, and he's doing his fucking best to pick interesting roles with interesting creative people.
I mean, him and then Kristen Stewart doing Underwater. Just those Twilight guys are just killing it.
Underwater.
And then the
her follow-up
kids,
to
Middle Management at a Super Walmart Poughkeepsie.
She did The Cloud of Sils Maria, she won a French Academy Award.
She's done some good stuff, but then her last couple of American films are just fucking...
I thought it was bad. I still think her performances were bad in whatever she's in.
She's a modern day Marlon Brando.
I don't know if I've ever seen a movie she's actually been in, to be honest.
You saw Charlie's Angels.
I didn't.
I almost went to go see that. Just to laugh. And then
she was hot with that haircut.
I don't know.
Does she have a certain haircut?
She had a short haircut. She's the first Charlie Angel to have that shorter haircut.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's highly erotic, according to Sam. Jesus. But on
just like The Lighthouse.
Yeah. On Robert Pattinson, I agree 100% that he is great. Because Good Time last year was amazing. And then he was in The Rover.
The Rover, I didn't like that movie that much, but he was super interesting in it.
It's slow. It's the same director that did Animal Kingdom. And all his movies are like this 2-hour lead up to this awesome moment. And then it ends on a great note. And you're like, oh, that was great. But
that was the whole thing for me with that movie. I didn't care for it for 90% of it.
But he was great.
I wanted to watch High Life before this podcast. I didn't get a chance to because he's in that, and that's supposed to be a pretty interesting movie as well. So, and now it's like I see Robert Pattinson in a movie, and I'm like, oh, I'm excited for that movie now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm super pumped. He's in Nolan's new movie, Tenet, that's coming out. Awesome.
Yeah, that looks great.
So, that's my number 10.
All right. Lucas, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My number 10 is The Silence, Netflix. No, I'm just joking.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
Bird Box?
It honestly is Bird Box, but with hearing instead of seeing. My number 10, honestly, I keep switching these back and forth between.
Just man up and say it.
Shadow. By the same director, I did Hero.
It's a kung fu movie,
Chinese. And it's a lot of black and gray as opposed to Hero, which was like each scene was its own color palette.
Huh.
This has a color palette, but like black, white, and gray. And then, which is what everybody's talking about. So when there is blood, it stands out.
Like Sin City type thing?
No, it's just, it's not, there's no
probably
like
less in your
filter.
Face.
Yeah, it's much more subdued than that. Like, this director he's very visual with the color. Like, in Hero, it would be like, everything would be green. So it would be like, in a green forest, and then the characters would be wearing different shades of green. Oh, and then in like this movie, it's like
it's
characters
kind of the
inverse of it. Yeah, they're wearing different shades of gray. So it's very different. And I mean, storytelling through fighting, it's a super fun.
What's it called?
Shadow.
Not the Shadow.
I remember hearing about that, and I definitely wanted to see it.
Yeah, it was great.
Is that streaming anywhere?
No, I had to watch it through Voodoo.
Voodoo. Wow.
Which my is, arch nemesis.
Yeah,
Voodoo.
Yeah, Deese's most hated. Yeah, I think that's how I had to watch it. Yeah.
The, all right.
Because there's a Chinese release and then a small American
is it,
release.
So is it dubbed or is it
yeah, or, no, subs. No, sub, subtitles. Yeah,
subs, not
yeah,
dubs.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
You piece of
I
shit.
I have a hard time. I don't know. I can't. I don't like subtitle movies. I
have
a hard time.
Have you seen Hero? I mean, the dialogue, it really, I mean, it's not heavily on the dialogue. It's a kung fu movie.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's really, I mean, it's the simplest story. It's like, you know, it's really easy to follow.
Okay.
But it's just, it visually is just amazing. It was fun.
Or the spirit, not or Frank Miller's The Spirit.
When he's just lost his mind, and we're like, "Yeah, we'll give you $180 million," not realizing he should not be, have full creative force.
I'm making a film by any way, shape, or form. all right. So I struggled to get to 10 movies.
Because all you watch is Marvel movies.
I watched Marvel movies this year, which were the three they released.
Well, superheroes. You watched superhero movies.
I watched a lot of movies this year. And I just, like I was saying earlier, I found ones they were fine. I liked them. They're entertaining, but I don't know how much my last three were just kind of what I, just shoved in there, but I saw the movie Brightburn. I liked that. I liked Brightburn. I thought it was an interesting take on the Superman.
I gave that like a 4 out of 10.
Yeah,
Jesus, I couldn't be on the more opposite spectrum of the 3 out of 10. Super disappointing, but great. Tell us what you liked.
No,
about
it was fine. Like I said, my last three were fine. My top seven. I actually really liked the last two were just like those are fine. Those are movies I saw.
Okay,
it was that or like. I saw fucking Dumbo or Captain Marvel or Glass, and those are all not good movies. I mean, Dumbo was fine, I guess. Maybe Dumbo, fuck whatever.
What drugs were you on for that?
Say Brightburn. Yeah. Don't say Dumbo. This is gonna be Disney heavy, but.
I don't think I don't have any Disney movies on mine.
No?
So
okay.
Yeah, my number nine is Midsommar, back to back horror.
Ooh.
For me. I was not very very into Hereditary, but this one did it for me. The colors brightly lit, fucking interesting ideas, and you kind of know where it's going, but it's just how does it get there? How fucked up is it when it gets there?
Yeah.
I really like just the whole vibe of this thing, and I thought the main chick was great. I thought her boyfriend was great at just being that kind of shitty douche.
It was great. Mine's on there. That's on my list.
Oh, that's
so
on, okay.
It's just a little higher, but
Well, what I like about Midsommar and also The Witch, like you mentioned earlier, is that they're horror movies. But horror is like probably the one genre that has such a broad spectrum. Midsommar is technically a horror movie, but also, you know. Also, so is Freddy vs. Jason.
Right.
So you're like, there's a lot of in between.
It's what we so call elevated horror.
So is Silence of the Lambs.
Horror
thriller.
Those are, you know, I like this spectrum of. I like horror when it's this spectrum. You know, like The Witch or Midsommar or things like. You know, I mean, The Shining is a horror movie, but definitely has a great.
I think it's excellent, and I think Ari Aster hates women and loves for them to go through the worst possible moments in anyone's life.
Yeah.
I'll wait till I talk about it before I say my favorite part.
Yeah, so that's my number nine. I don't have a lot to say about it. I thought it was great. Actually, one thing I will say is I thought the drug effects were some of the best I've seen in movies.
Usually they
over exaggerate that stuff, and I thought it
captured
suited
it
well.
Well.
Yeah,
yeah, for hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Once my mom lets me do drugs, I came out to experience.
Well, you know, 30th birthday and
yeah, it's coming up. My number nine, and I'm doing back-to-back action, and
ooh.
John Wick 3. I was surprised that it would be on my top 10, but it's...
I still have yet to see any of the John Wick movies.
Super rewatchable. I liked it better than the second. I still think the first one's the best.
Oh, see, I'm 2, 3, 1.
Really?
Yeah, really? I don't think one's as good as people make it out to be, but...
I've heard that. Maybe I heard that from you or some other people. I haven't seen any of them. I feel like I need to
But this is like, this is like what... The three slices of pizza were the best. I mean, like, it's good in every one. But, like, I mean, and a lot of people I talk to, they seem to just think they're getting better and better. But, like, what I liked about this one was almost every death was, like, such an interesting conclusion. It didn't end with just, like, getting shot in the head or something. It was creative, and it was, like, almost like when they were doing the stunts, they're just like, oh, I'm tired of just shooting people in the head.
Right. And it's almost like find a creative way and work backwards.
Yeah, and it seemed very, very close to, like, how, aside from being ridiculously violent, but how, like, Jackie Chan would do his stunts. Like, there was just, like, the whole axe scene. Which was in like
spoiler
the
alert.
The
there's an axe.
Oh, all the blade stuff.
Yeah. And that was really fun. And rather than just having a normal knife fight or a normal gunfight,
I liked it too. I think I gave it a 4 out of 5. Really enjoyable, real cool color palette, and
I feel like it's really creative.
I feel like I hadn't seen Halle Berry in a while, so it was cool to see her.
I didn't like seeing Halle.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Swordfish. Yeah.
Monsters Ball.
Oh. I haven't seen it.
No.
Really?
No, oh, man. She got a great scene where she fucks Billy Bob Thornton. Pretty great. Which is like I bought the DVD.
So only time I've ever wanted to be Billy Bob Thornton was that year, because he was in that scene with Halle Berry and dating Angelina.
Yeah. Rough
That's
life,
so insane.
Man. Rough life. So John Wick 3. All right, I need to see some or all of those at some point. I don't know why I never did. I've heard good things. I just never got around to them. Number 9 for me, again, just to fill a spot, out of the movies I saw.
At least pretend like you like them.
No, I mean, they're fine. They were fine movies, but like, I understand these movies.
We're
going
to
like,
get to his real list, and he's like, are you sure you're not filling a spot?
Yeah, the top 7. Those were my 8, 9, and 10 are just fillers.
Okay, okay.
We talked about it off the air. Like, I saw the movie Shazam. That was a good, it was fine. It was fun.
I think so.
It was fun. It was probably DC's, in their cinematic universe, that's falling to shambles. There's second best. I think Wonder Woman's probably a little better, but beyond that, until we get that Snyder cut.
The Snyder cut. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, I had so much fun watching that movie.
Yeah, it was
fun. Theater,
it was...
And I watched it again when it came out. It was like...
I haven't watched it a second time yet. But it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I feel like I could rewatch it, but
I haven't seen it. It's on HBO though, so I'll probably go and watch it pretty soon, because I've heard good things about
it. It's worth a watch. It's like kind of
seems like a fun popcorn movie.
You can tell they took a page out of Marvel's book of not of being fun in like a Deadpool type Guardians of the Galaxy, where they have, you know, more laughs.
Yeah, but it seems like they're not shoehorning. Like, it's more natural to this movie than like when they had Joss Whedon punch up fucking Justice League.
Oh,
it was just
and
it's
like
your best
dark
joke is, what is even brunch? What is brunch?
Yeah, it's like really dark, and then someone says something comedic, and
it's
you're just
like
fucking that's
it.
Not...
And it's just like the worst comedy ever.
No, Shazam was good because it's under that guise of kids, you know.
Very good.
You know.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
My number 8 is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Quentin Tarantino's 9th film.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love this when I first saw it. Actually, I think this year I realized was a lot of growers, not showers for me, where it was just like kind of rewatching stuff and just enjoying it more and more and kind of sitting with it and thinking about it. So didn't really love it when I first saw it, but I fucking love this baby now. And I think this is probably the most rewatchable movie of 2019 for me.
Really?
Like, it's one of those movies, like, I think, like, when I'm at my parents' house and me and my dad are watching TV and it's just on cable, it's one of those movies where just you start watching it wherever, at whatever point it is to when it ends. It's just super fun, rewatchable. Brad Pitt killing it. Leo killing it.
Brad Pitt especially. I love him.
And you know, this, there was some controversy around this movie. Like, there has to be controversy around everything because Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate didn't have enough lines or whatever.
Right. I reject your hypothesis.
Yeah.
That's what he said during
the interview. I know. And, but I think that kind of overshadowed the fact that Margaret Qualley is the Manson hippie pussycat. Like, I thought that was such an amazing performance as this little weird character in it. And she was pretty much all her scenes were with Brad Pitt, the biggest movie star in the world.
Yeah.
And she was totally fucking right there. Just a great ball of energy that the film needed at that point, and animated. I thought she was excellent and didn't get talked about enough in regards to this movie.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. That's on my list as well. So damn, we're going to.
I assume there's a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those ones, I'm trying not to talk too much since someone else is going to probably bring it up.
My number 8, and I don't want to talk about it that much because I didn't see it. No, I'm just a Netflix movie, I Lost My Body. It's animated.
Yeah.
Hmm. And it literally is about a it's literally, I don't want to say too much, but basically it's like...
Severed hand.
Yeah. And it's finding its way back home. It's just kind of what I want to describe. And when I clicked play on it, I thought it was by a different Japanese animated filmmaker.
Uh-huh.
I think his name's Satoshi Kon or something.
That's super racist.
No, he's looking at a King Kong poster right now.
No, I'm not.
Satoshi...
Jesus Christ. Anyway, I thought it was by a different filmmaker. I wasn't realizing it, and I watched it, and it was awesome. It was like, everybody describes it this way, but it's like one of those movies that can only be made animated, and it was really adult and
I meant to watch it, but I just didn't find the time.
Yeah, and I don't want to ruin it, because it is one of those movies that, like, the first... 10 it, like you need to experience like the first 5 minutes of it just to get the idea of what it's doing. But it's great.
Cool. So.
All right. Number 8 for me, actually same as Sam's, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. As we all know, I'm not a huge Tarantino fan.
It's literally the worst part about you.
Yeah.
It's your biggest deficit.
I liked a lot of parts of this movie. I think it has really great vignettes. I think as a whole, I didn't love it. I haven't rewatched it, and I feel that most Tarantino movies, when I rewatch them, I enjoy them more.
Usually when you can like see the whole picture and how everything kind of fits into place.
Yeah, it took me a long time to come around. Well, not a long time, but it took me a real second watch of Inglourious Basterds to come around on that. I still think what's his other one? What's the one before or after Inglourious Bastards, which was
Django? Hateful Eight?
Django.
No, I like Django.
Reservoir Dogs,
Hateful
Kill Bill.
Eight. I couldn't make it through Hateful Eight. I never made it through it.
Was right before.
Yeah, I don't know. But this
we
one,
just
I
just listed
I don't know.
Everything
That's
but Jackie
fine.
Brown and Pulp Fiction.
Once Upon a Time, there were great vignettes, great parts, things I really liked a lot, things I really disliked quite a bit. But there were a lot of parts I liked enough to say it could make. You know,
it could make a. I guess this is going to be
my
number
list.
8.
Yeah, it was your number 8 too. So don't
yeah,
care.
But enthusiastically.
Yeah, well, it was unenthusiastically my number 8. So, but you know, it did beat out Shazam and Brightburn.
Good God!
So,
all right,
just barely, but didn't break the man who killed Hitler and Bigfoot.
Oh my God!
No, just kidding. I did watch the movie though. all right, Sam.
My number 7 is a Marriage Story, Noah Baumbach, Netflix movie. What's his face in it? Adam Driver. Adam Driver, Scarlett Johansson. You know,
Laura Dern.
Good. I heard good things.
Ray Liotta.
Yeah, Ray Liotta.
I thought it was excellent. Just very emotional. Really, really. the script just seems like it was so well thought out and made, because it's about a couple going through a divorce, and it does this really great job of when you're with one member, you're like, oh, they're getting fucked by this other person. And then, and then it switches to the other one, and you're like, oh, man, they're getting fucked. It just doesn't – it really empathetic lens for it. And just some great – Adam Driver is just such a goddamn good performer. Like, it's amazing to me kind of just what he's able to – what he's able to do just through facial expression and all that stuff and body language.
You don't gotta sell me on girls.
So, all right. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so Marriage Story.
Okay.
Highly recommend.
Awesome. I've heard good things. I should watch it. I have Netflix.
You should. Yeah, Netflix is getting some good shit.
I think this is kind of the year that they really made a push for movies.
Yeah.
Like, they've kind of always tried to make movies, but never really got the right talent for it. And this year, I feel like they really fucking went for it with some stuff.
Yeah.
You're telling me you didn't see Bright?
I didn't, no.
Or was that the name of it?
Unfortunately.
The one with Will Smith?
Nope, just got nauseous. Right,
I mean, they do, don't get me wrong, they do put out a lot of fucking trash.
Yeah.
They're all about quantity, not quality, but definitely the quality. The cream rise to the top, rose to the top in this. My number seven is, as Sam mentioned, and you might, wait, Midsommar.
Yeah.
Midsommar, the best opening I've seen in a long time.
It's fucked.
Totally visceral, totally, like, literally, like, made me, like, stand up, because it was, like, just such an uneasy, like, holy shit. And, dude, Ari Aster fucking hates women. His main character.
That's true.
He hates. No, I want everyone to know that I think Ari Aster hates his female lead characters. And the way it was shown, God, it almost reminded me of something David Fincher would do.
In just that camera, camera.
That shot. Had no real bearing. And that's kind of what made it. And then. Just like the background of the snow, just like putting it's the darkest part of the movie, and it's like this darkest thing because the whole movie is during the day for the most part.
Yeah.
And that juxtaposition, it was so expertly crafted.
Dude, and that like, fucking imagery of the fucking sister with the tube taped into her mouth.
Like shit coming out of her mouth. It's so
fucked.
Haunting. Yeah. Yeah. That was the scariest part of the movie for me, honestly. Like,
I do like the idea of you in the theater just standing up.
I literally did.
Sit down, jackass.
I was in the back row.
Sit down in the front.
I was like, oh, God damn it. That was awesome.
Dude, and in that opening, like, prologue thing, when she's just lying on her boyfriend's lap, just fucking sobbing.
Oh yeah,
and just the sobs that she was able to get out of her. Oh. It was just oh my God.
A very selfless, not vain performance.
Oh yeah, she's like fucking ugly crying so much in that movie.
Yeah, she's like
she really nailed it. She was great.
That reaction, just the phone call he got. I mean. If you haven't seen the movie or whatever, go watch it. But, like, basically it's just two people that shouldn't be together that need to let go. And it's such a interesting – that, like, sets it off. He's so detached. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, literally the most traumatic experience one person can go through in that 10 seconds. And he's, like, with his buddies, just fucking dump this bitch already. What, she calling again?
Yeah, here we go again.
And then just in that one cry, that one moment, she didn't even say dialogue. And it was like, oh, shit, something fucked happened.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, and I'm still thinking about it. I've watched it, I think, 2 or 3 times now.
Yeah.
And it's still good, so.
Yeah. I need to rewatch that one too. That's one I would rewatch. For me, we're at number seven. Yes. A fun little mystery romp, and this is a movie I actually enjoyed. It had some flaws, and there was one particular plot point which seemed kind of bumpsy a little bit. But Knives Out. Saw Knives Out. I liked it quite a bit.
I didn't get to see it.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? The girl who plays the lead, the maid.
Oh, so hot.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, okay, sorry, real quick. There's something that directors try and do to make super hot chicks like look homely.
Yeah.
And it's always
just... Put a sweater on them.
Yeah, put a sweater on them and like ill-fitting pants. And it's just like... She wears like the high water pants yeah. with the ugly socks.
Like culottes.
It's just like, no, dude, she's still smoking hot.
Her eyes are glossy. Her big doe eyes are glossy, God, and her lips are quivering the entire movie.
Beautiful round cheeks on her face, like, and just like
Jesus Christ.
It's like there's no way in the world that woman would not be getting paid for being how attractive she is.
Right.
Like she's a nurse.
What are you doing? Yeah, you work this rich family. Be a model. There's just the one plot point of her not being able to tell a lie, that just makes it, to me,
that's kind of just like a genre-y thing, you know?
It really leaned into like this kind of wacky murder mystery mm-hmm. thing, but I enjoyed it. I had fun.
I think I'm one of the one people on the planet that didn't like it.
It
was a very easy watch, I'll say. Like, it was breezy. But it was just so toothless, and the way I described it is this is a movie for self-loathing white liberals that want to feel good about feeling bad about being white.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way to put it. So, but it was a little long, too. It went a little, and there's just some...
Yeah, the third act kind of drags a little.
Some very convenient plot points, and, you know, the unfolding of the mystery was kind of too... It was laid out too... formulaic. It was no like surprise. Just like, okay, and then we discuss how this happened. Just it's like, there's no like kind of reveal.
I think also just me and Ryan Johnson, we don't have very similar senses of humor. Like his humor does very, very little for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Did you like Brick?
I did when I watched it, but I watched it like in high school. So,
yeah.
So you know, I was just a fucking idiot then.
Yeah. Okay.
I need to rewatch it.
Yeah.
It's getting a re-release.
Really?
Yeah, I think a 4K maybe.
Oh,
don't quote me on that. Blu-ray. Maybe. Okay, my number six, another controversial movie, Jojo Rabbit.
You were going to say Joker.
No, don't worry, that'll be on here. Jojo Rabbit, the Nazi comedy. And man, dude.
That's on my list.
This was one of my favorite cinema, watching it in the theater experiences. The whole crowd was just into it. It was like fucking just, we were all laughing. And this... he had the balls to go pretty dark with it too.
Yeah.
And it was one of those great moments where it happens. You see an image and you instantly know what it means. And it's so fucking tragic. And just the whole theater just shut down. And then it was able to bring it back. And this movie made me cry. I loved it. It was
really,
and the energy is just so fun in it. And I thought it was really, really, really great.
I'll have to find that. I saw a preview for it and was very confused by the preview.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to, I'll check it out.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty excellent.
All right.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
You.
I want to see that movie. My number six is a Japanese horror movie because I love horror.
You love Asians.
And I love Asians, apparently, from this list.
Yeah. That's what we're learning.
This is by Takashi Kong. this is by Godzilla Hyundai.
Hatsune Miku.
What's
the name of it?
It's a zombie horror movie, One Cut of the Dead.
This almost made my list. I watched it a couple days ago. It's really, really good.
Yeah, they're filming a movie, documentary, and it's another movie where it's like... I think that's my biggest thing, is if a movie changes in some way, I'm just, like, super on board. But it's just so satisfying, purely satisfying throughout the entire movie. It's such a fun movie to watch.
So I've heard competing ideas of, like, going to this movie completely blind. And then also, like, So my thing was, I knew that there was a thing to it. And that actually helped me, because the first half hour or so, it's kind of like, okay, there's supposed to be a thing.
Yeah.
Because right now it's just kind of a bad horror movie,
yeah,
and that helped me get through that part, and it was so satisfying. Once it contextualizes all that shit,
yeah,
like it was just a really smart really fun movie.
Yeah, it's super original. It's like one of those movies when people are like, hey, there's only 7 stories, and then you watch a movie and you're like, mm-hmm. this is like nothing I could have even thought of, you know. And mm-hmm. but in a way, it's nothing challenging. Like it's super satisfying.
It's like a super fun mm-hmm. energy to it the whole time.
Yeah,
for sure. The score is terrible.
Yeah, it's like just like stock soundtrack bullshit. But anyone that's into like action horror or like zombie movies of any kind, or if you like any genre bending ish horror,
watch it. All right. It's got subtitles though, Deez.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Also, in kind of the horror genre, a movie follow up to director's movie I did not care for, but I enjoyed this one much more, Jordan Peele's Us. I liked it. It was the ending was a little unsatisfying for me, but the overall tone of the movie I enjoyed a lot more. What's her name?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Her
so
performance
good.
Was amazing.
She was really good.
I thought the whole family was. The dad being the weakest part.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. 100%.
Everyone was. Everyone was great. It had fun parts, but it had horror elements. Mm-hmm. It had an interesting, it's a very very unique story. The ending was a little unsatisfying, like I said. But beyond that, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
It almost made my list too. Just some really cool imagery, and just like
talk about a great score.
It felt that dance scene with her syncing up to it, and. I do like Get Out more than that, I think. I haven't rewatched Us yet, but the thing, Get Out, like, I never had that sense of unease like I did in Us. Like, it was just like a knot in my stomach the whole time, because you're just like, oh my God, this beautiful family, what is he going to do to them?
Right.
and it was a, I liked it more than I thought I would. Also, problems with the ending, too. I think, like, there's some really interesting imagery but then you can't think of it in a literal sense. But then the movie goes out of its way to over-explain itself in a literal sense. And so it's just,
It's so, I think what makes it difficult is when movies like this get so grand and bigger than what they should be. Mm-hmm. They have trouble ending. And because Get Out was so self-contained.
Yeah.
Like, you can find a good stopping point in that. And this was like... oh, okay, it just ended here like that. Like, it doesn't really tie it in a great bow.
Yeah,
but
just...
I agree with you guys.
Yeah, it just kind of seemed like a weak ending with... I mean, and I'm into ambiguous endings, but that was a little too open-ended, I guess, so...
Yeah, so my number 5, this was probably the hardest part of the list, going back and forth between 4 and 5, but my number 5 is Uncut Gems. Safdie Brothers, Adam Sandler, just fucking gnarly ass New York movie. Loved it. Yeah. Fucking just, people call this like anxiety cinema or whatever.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of that, but there's downtimes. There's still downtimes to it. But dude, the Sandman, when he fucking decides to act, he is.
It's pretty
excellent.
Amazing
top
how
notch.
his range. I mean,
I guess he was a classically trained, like, not classically trained like Juilliard, but he went like to acting school and stuff when he was younger.
It shows. It shows when he needs it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's smart. He made his money where he could make his money. He knows who butters his bread.
Yeah. But like, it's like I'm not gonna fucking fault the guy on a personal level for making movies with his friends in tropical locations. Like, anyone would do that.
Right.
But it's just
vacation.
Like, I just wish he would do a little more of these films too in between, instead of doing
every 5 years.
Yeah.
Every 5 years, do a Punch Drunk Love.
Every time Netflix contract expires.
Yeah, it'd be nicer if it was like every 2 years, but...
Well, with how many movies he makes, he might as well. Yeah.
But just amazing. Just some fucking wild, tense shit.
Yeah.
And just like... insane sound design.
Yeah.
Just like the way that they just start cranking up stuff and all the crosstalk and stuff.
Talking over each
other. Yeah. Kevin Garnett gave a surprisingly really good performance.
Yeah.
He played himself.
Yeah. Dude, that I loved just the whole narrative device at the end of just these guys trying to collect their debt from him, just locked in a booth sitting there watching him watch the game.
Spoiler
like,
warning.
That was was so good. Well, I just figured like we're kind of spoiling a lot of
stuff.
No,
so. I'm joking. But I'm making fun of D's.
And I was kind of shocked by the ending. Like I didn't know how it was. I had an idea of where it was going to go, but it was just
like it
so abrupt. Yeah. Like it did have to go there, but it was just like fucking just happened.
Oh yeah. God! And was the ending good?
Yeah.
It was.
And just that whole character was just so, like totally unlikable, but just so fucking interesting.
Irredeemably. That's interesting, though. Yeah.
You and I probably watched those similar reviews on it. But what I heard this reviewer said this about it is like, if you had anyone else in that role. Basically, he's a super unlikable character, but because Adam Sandler is
so likable,
such a likable dude,
I did hear someone say that.
It works so well, and it's absolutely genius on casting. Safdie brothers are probably some of my favorite films.
They're fucking weird. The one with the beard that dresses like he's a 1980s bowler.
Jesus Christ!
Like,
yeah,
fucking weird ass dudes.
Yeah, yeah, and
super cool.
Totally
though.
Opposite too. One's like super
hipsterish, and then the other's like
like a fucking sports dude, like athletic
gas station attendant.
Yeah.
All right, we got about 10 minutes. Like, get out of here.
Okay.
So let's roll through these. Lucas, you number five.
Documentary Won't You Be My Neighbor, Mr. Rogers documentary.
Okay. Not the one, not the Tom Hanks movie.
Don't watch the movie.
That's not a documentary, Deez. Tom Hanks is in it.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah. Usually people don't play other people in documentaries.
I don't know.
Unless you're Michael Moore. But
he plays an out of work lesbian trucker in every documentary he does.
Honestly, I. Whether you know a lot about it or not, this is better than the movie by far. I don't always include documentaries on my list, but it's like one of the most quotable movies where you could like take anything people were saying about Mr. Rogers or what he was saying about things and literally like put it on a fucking frame and sell it to white women because it's so endearing and so nice and just it was such a good like pleasant watch and then like I cried happy tears like a little bitch on my couch alone and it's I think it's on Netflix and I think it's in Redbox. There's like no excuse not to watch it.
Number five for me, Sam already mentioned it, Lighthouse. I'm still...
God, you're
so
gay.
I would like to to watch it again and figure out... I'm still not 100% sure on what I watched. I just know I liked it a lot the entire time.
That's what a lot of people say.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty open, vague movie.
Yeah, it's a very...
I'm excited to watch it with subtitles on.
I agree.
It was interesting. It was engaging. I wasn't always sure what exactly they were pushing towards, but I walked out of theater having enjoyed it a lot. So
cool. My number four... Most dangerous movie of 2019, Joker.
All right, number four.
I'm a radicalized incel now. No.
Now?
Now. honestly, I just fucking, just what this movie was putting down, I was picking up, man. Joaquin, amazing. Fucking cinematography, lighting, score, all that shit was just, I was into it. And people are like talking about how it's like just so unoriginal and derivative. And it's like fucking whatever. We don't get movies like this that much anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's referencing a lot of things, but it's doing it within the confines of like a big budget comic book movie,
right? Yeah, that's a very interesting
way to get something like that made. It doesn't get made anymore, and it's like people are mad at it for referencing these other great movies. Like,
right.
I don't think it's good as Taxi Driver, but I think it's still a fucking good movie.
Well, both those things can exist separately and with, as different, you don't have to, if we're starting to draw comparisons between every movie that's kind of similar, like we need to just stop making movies. If that's the problem.
And it's not only just referencing those Scorsese movies too, fucking Death Wish and Friedkin, all his New York shit. Like it's referencing a lot of cinema, not just like these two very obvious touchstones.
Right. Could even be a Woody Allen movie. People didn't die at the end so much. Like,
I mean, Gotham really is a character in the movie itself. But no, but this was definitely my favorite movie experience of the year. Joke. There's just some really great moments. The when he finally just fucking breaks and kills that coworker of his. That scene is so tense. Yeah. And then the way they break that with comedy, I just think it's just so great.
It's it was done very with the midget or little person.
Yeah, and Jesus Christ. And to see, and seeing that scene in the theater, I think it's just was just
it's very excellent. Very effective actually. I didn't think the movie was gonna go there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was awesome. That interaction they had after, you know, this dude's dead on the floor.
After, like, brutally stabbed in the eye to death.
Yeah, and he's slamming his head against the thing. And it's like, no, you were always nice to me. Yeah. And then he had to open, that part, the lock, that's the laugh that breaks
that tension. Yeah.
Where he's like, I know you just brutally murdered someone, but you mind? Yeah.
Yeah.
The movie, didn't go the way I thought it would at all, but I don't know where I thought it was going to go necessarily. It just didn't go the way I thought it would, but I liked where it went.
I was just like right in the middle, like honestly, just like I could watch it again. I could never watch it again. I still enjoyed it, but like
My four
is the most fun movie of the year, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I watched it like I think I've seen it 5 times now.
I think I've seen like 3 times.
Yeah,
5 times?
Yeah.
Damn, all right.
Yeah. I bought it. I bought it. Yeah.
I actually got it for Christmas.
Oh, that's good. God. You fucking parents and shit. It was a lot of fun, and I loved where it went. There's the scene towards the end where they're like, oh, it does this kind of weird shift where it tonally, I think that where it's like, oh, that's just Quentin Tarantino being Quentin Tarantino, where it gets violent. And I was like, no, I think that was fun. It was subverting your expectation on history.
Cathartic.
And Brad Pitt, honestly, I thought I would go in liking Leo because I loved him so much in Wolf of Wall Street. I loved him as a comedic actor. But Brad Pitt's the coolest fucking dude. Yeah, his interaction between him and his dog when he's making food.
That's when he tastes the dog food.
Oh, my God. On acid. That's one of the funnest, most fun scenes. I loved it. I loved every minute.
All right. For me, number four, we already talked about it quite a bit. We won't talk about it more, but Midsommar. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah. Good.
That was
because me and you were both not hot on Hereditary.
I did not like Hereditary at all.
I liked the first 2/3.
But Midsommar, I thought was just. It was long, but it didn't see everything felt like it felt proportionally long to how much I liked it. So that was one of my favorite movies.
Very cool. My number three is The Irishman, Scorsese. Yeah. Another very long movie from a very, very good director. This is a movie that I've rewatched a couple times too, and I think it benefits from a rewatch once you see the whole scope of it.
Yeah.
I think this fucking script and the editing of it is just astounding because just the narrative devices they employ of how they jump around these timelines and it's kind of centered around this road trip right in the middle of the story. Yeah. I think is brilliant because it just
50 years.
It gives them a way to tell this super long story, but to keep the pacing going.
Yeah.
And
Scorsese is a master at that. Yeah.
That's the thing. And it's like people have called this movie indulgent, but it's like, dude, if anyone's earned the right to be indulgent, it's Scorsese.
77 years old, still making excellent
movies. I'm gonna fucking enjoy watching him put it all out on the screen. The CGI, a little distracting. I got used to it. The most distracting part for me, honestly, is the younger years just... They have the bodies of old men.
They have the faces of
young guys plastered on, but they have the bodies of old men.
Yeah.
Notoriously, the stomping on the guy outside.
Yeah,
that thing.
Yeah.
That thing.
A little jarring.
Little laughable, that scene. But overall, I think this movie's amazing and is just kind of this very interesting take on the gangster lifestyle. And it's kind of a good bookend to Casino and Goodfellas.
Sure.
And showing a little different side of that stuff. All right.
Yeah. My number three, we talked about it already, The Lighthouse. I put it up high because it was honestly one of those movies where I was like, I wish someone wouldn't have told me it was a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. So many times I wish I didn't hear that, And then I watched it, and then I didn't get to see it in theaters. I rented it. So I watched it, and then fell asleep and woke up, and I was still thinking about it. And then I watched it again the next day, and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. It's like such a pristinely acted,
yeah,
just well-made, well-crafted little slice of just movie.
And there's just like, so much weird shit to just chew on.
Yeah, know? Yeah. And it was just a cool.
Yeah, it's like watching cool a movie. Play almost.
Yeah, yeah.
The number three for me, we already talked about it, but Uncut Gems, I liked it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I really like the way it's not crisp like so many movies now. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't look like digital, it looked like old film, and I like that in a movie. Oh, it looks kind of gritty. So
yeah.
Cool. My number two, this is probably the most slept on movie of the year, but Pain and Glory, Spanish film. Yeah, Antonio Banderas,
Almodovar.
I've never seen any of the director's stuff before. Yeah, but
he's good.
I love this movie. Like this movie was just like a fucking just like glass of cool water. Like it was just refreshing. It was just so beautiful and human. And I've for some reason I'm really into like midlife crisis movies, especially if the person having midlife crisis is an artist. And that's what this is all about. And Antonio Banderas is just fantastic in it. He's kind of getting passed on all the awards despite the fact that he's nominated, but I thought he was fantastic in it. The color palette, awesome. And one of the most satisfying final scenes in a movie all year. Just amazing ending.
You should really see this director's other movies.
It makes me want to go look into it. Yeah. He's kind of the dude for Spanish cinema, it seems like.
Yeah. It's great. My number two, we talked about it, was Marriage Story. It's like Glengarry Glen Ross. But for marriage. It seriously is like that. It's one of those things where it's like, it's shot well, but it doesn't really need to be. It's just the dialogue and the performances. Yeah. And it's one of those ones where it's like, I don't ruin this for you, but you can't really, because it's just like, it's something you just need to watch. And you said it perfectly. It's just so good at balancing the sides. There's so many movies. Kramer versus Kramer came up because it's kind of like one of those other high divorce movies. But it just made me think so much of just like really well-crafted dialogue by actors that are at the top of their game right now. And I seriously think it's like the Glengarry Glen Ross of fucking divorce.
Yeah, right.
It's awesome.
Number two for me, we talked about it already enough, but Joker, that was number two in my book for the year. I liked it a lot. That I definitely want to give it a second watch. I only saw once in the theater, but I was definitely captivated the whole time.
Cool. My number one is Parasite. Bong Joon-ho.
Don't talk about it. I didn't get to
You didn't get to see it? Oh, no. I was wondering if it's your number one.
No.
Fucking fantastic film.
It probably
was. It's blending a lot of different genres together and doing it just so, so well. And everything is just feeding into its main themes, and just so satisfying, so beautifully shot. Just loved it. Bong Joon-ho, I don't always hit his comedy, doesn't always hit me, but it just fucking worked for me in this movie. Right. And it was just so goddamn satisfying.
I can't wait to watch it.
Lucas, number one?
Number one is Uncut Gems. I'm gonna buy it when it comes out. I'm probably gonna watch it 10-15 times. Same thing I did with Good Time. I don't know which one I like more, because Good Time was
my it
was like my number one or number two of last year. So but it was I loved every minute of it. Everybody's like, talk about anxiety filled, and I love that. I love being like thrilled and challenged and I felt like I needed to take a beta blocker. It was so good. I loved it.
All right. My number one movie of the year is a movie I know Sam didn't like. I know Lucas was okay on, and it's a movie we all saw together, Ad Astra.
Ad Astra.
That was my favorite movie of the year.
Good for you, buddy.
It was like an existential crisis, man, in the the loneliness and desperateness of humanity and where like our culture is going. I thought they had a lot of really interesting themes that. We talked about the ending lacks, like the last 5 minutes could have been chopped off, but I really, really loved that movie. Like I literally had to go walk around the park and just like stare into space for an hour after I watched that movie. So no other movie has like touched me like that in a long time. Awesome. So I really connected with that movie.
Cool.
Yeah, that's not that. Honestly, that's not one where if someone was like, "That's my number one," I wouldn't hate him. But
I kind of do.
It was just like a solid 5 or 6 out of 10 for me. It was just like it was pretty well made, but it was tonally all over the place.
I think tonally it was dry, like dead intentionally.
Mm-hmm. I think it would have been better if they let the director do, because there were times where it was really atmospheric and nice, and then it's like, oh shit, there's a monkey in space biting people.
I don't know, not very often do movies really like make me really feel something in that one.
But I remember us talking like in June about how there were just no movies coming out. Like, it was just a shitty year. Yeah. And then I feel like this back half was just fucking
loaded up.
Full of stuff.
Good movies.
Yeah, the first half of the year, I felt like I didn't see hardly any movies. And then the last few months, I felt like I saw one or two, sometimes three a week.
I still missed a bunch that I wanted to see.
All right, guys. So unfortunately, I got to get out of here. I got all this shit too. So we're going to wrap up here. That is the movie review. We'll be back soon to talk movies, at least next December when Star Wars comes out.
It's a yearly event.
I think they said they're going to actually hold off for a little bit. Yeah, good. But there'll be some Marvel shit.
Yeah. But guys, for me, you can find me. I'll be at Chivino in Chewila, Washington tomorrow night with Philip Kopczynski. I'll be at Joker's Comedy Club in Richland on Sunday the 19th, and Badger Mountain in Wenatchee on the 21st. Otherwise, go to dcomedy.com/calendar. Check out all the dates. And tell your friend about the show. Tell them to take a listen. And thanks, guys. For Lucas and Sam. And thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.
And we will see you next week.